God's power was manifested in the creation in the first 6 days. He gave us His work, this work, to reveal that the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. By His words, the creation was brought forth. By His words, the heavens were made and put into orbit. All that we can see, all that we can smell, touch, taste, and hear was brought forth by the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And it is revealed later that it was all made through, by, and for Christ, the one that is called the Word. He spoke the creation into existence to reveal an almighty and magnificent God, one that man could ponder on and come to. And the creation was also made to glorify God. God said, is there any more power in a statement? There isn't, because God created all things. In the beginning, God spoke to Adam, and He gave him directives on the earth. God gave man do's and don'ts. God gave man a helpmeet for him. And God created woman from the man. Remember, He created man out of the dust of the earth. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that He created out of something. And then He brought forth woman out of man. In the process of time, man disobeyed and was cast from the garden. Cast from the one who created him. The separation of God and man, it was set forth at that time. As time went on, God spoke to other men. He spoke to Cain. When the blood of Abel cried out from the earth, God spake to Noah and told him of the impending judgment that was coming. And then God spoke to Abram and called him out from amongst his brethren. This is bringing forth a new relationship between God and man. Abraham is going to believe God, and it's going to be accounted for him, to him, for righteousness. And we can read that Abraham was called the friend of God. Mm-hmm. In believing Abraham believed the word of the Lord, and he and his seed, and all the nations through that, were blessed by that. Abraham heeded to the same voice that created all of the creation. The same voice that brought the worlds to existence was spoken to Abraham. And because of Abraham's belief, many nations, again, were blessed. God called out to Moses from the burning bush, revealing that it was by God that made man's mouth. That by the weakness of man, God's voice was going to be heard. God spoke it, and it was done. God spoke, and things were accomplished. When God spoke, men fell on their faces to the earth. They removed the shoes off of their feet, because where God spoke, this was holy ground. There was a reverence and fear when the Lord spoke. Through the voice of God, the commandments were given, the people heard, agreed, and then the next day they turned around and broke them. By the voice of God, nations fell and were raised up. By the voice of God, men were raised and fallen. By the voice of God, He was to be the people's king, but the people wanted another king. The people saw the thunderings, and they stood afar off at Mount Sinai. The people wanted someone to intercede for them. They feared God, and they wanted Moses to speak. So Moses interceded and spoke to God for the people, and spoke to the people for God. The people would eventually cry out for a king as other nations, and as we can read in the book of Luke, of those who would not have God to reign over them. In Luke 19 it says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. That was basically what the people were saying, Israel was saying to God when they wanted kings like in other nations. In Luke 19:27, a little farther, it says, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. That is God's opinion. That's His position on people who will not heed to his voice to slay them. And we know the wrath is coming one day. God wants to speak to his people. He wants to rule over them and guide them. But he will not have his people, have a people who will not have him reign over. His word must abide in his people, or God will have nothing to do with them. In Jeremiah 11, and the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went down after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. See, they went back. They went back to heeding to the Father, the God of their fathers. God's words are there to protect us. They truly are, just as a parent protects his child. Don't touch that. Don't do that. Don't. Pretty much just what God said. You know, you don't want your child to stick their knife in a light socket or run out into traffic. God's words are there to protect us and not hinder us. God's words are there to protect us and keep us from straying from him and going to other gods. But men refused to hear, and they turned their backs to God, and it wasn't any better in the days of Jesus. John 8:37, it says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. See there? People who do not have the word of God in them, they seek to kill Jesus. They will not have him reign over them. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen of your Father. And we know that he's talking about their father is the devil. He told them in John 5:39, he says, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. We know that they were Bible people. These men in Jesus' day, they were Bible people. They knew what the Bible said, what their Bible said. But they did not see Jesus in it. And they were looking for life through the law of Moses, through what was written. But they were refusing the one. They were refusing the one who God was talking about. The Father's word must abide in his people lest they have no life. Just as in the beginning, the life was to be, came by the voice of God. In essence, the creation has his words abiding in them. In fact, they are a manifestation of God. So if you do not have the words of God abiding in you, then you are dead and you have no life. There was nothing prior to existence. There was no life. God spoke it, and it was brought forth. We can read of God's voice sounding like a trumpet from the top of the mount. God spoke to Moses as a friend speaks to a friend. His voice was heard from the heavens, and in Elijah's case, it came as a still small voice. 1 Kings 19:12, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? So through all of this turmoil, through the earthquakes, through the fire, everything that was going on, Elijah was in tune with God's voice and he heard it. Elijah was in tune with God and the voice, and his voice, and the words of God came and encouraged and strengthened Elijah at this time. God's words can build up, and they can bring judgment. They can guide you, or they can hinder you. It all depends on whether his word is abiding within you. See, that's the comfort that we get from the written word of God. We store it up, and in times of need, the Spirit can bring back those verses for encouragement and strength. In the days of old, God spoke through Moses and the prophets. This is generally how he communicated to the people. But there was a time coming in which he was going to speak through the one who was higher and mightier than Moses and the prophets. In fact, they even spoke of this one to come in Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken. So we see that God was predicting, was prophesying of Christ coming, and that the people would be listening to him, one greater than Moses. They spoke of Jesus. In fact, Jesus spoke of the ones going to Emmaus, of all the things that were written of him from Moses and all of the prophets. Think about that conversation. Think about the richness and the depth. And wow, I didn't see that one. I don't know how long it took them to walk that, but I can just imagine that conversation. We are beginning to see that God's word is Jesus Christ himself. He proclaimed this on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17:5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Because we know that the Son only spoke of the things that the Father told him to speak. All of that which Christ has spoken and spoke came directly from the Father. Hebrews 1:2, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So see, at this time that Hebrews was written, they were reflecting back on what Jesus had spoken, that God was speaking through Christ. Now we are to hear by the Son of God. All of that which is God revealed, and all of that which God had revealed through is through and by his Son. There is nothing that God has for us that is apart from Christ himself. We come to the Father through Christ. We have a propitiation and atonement through Christ. We have access and a mediator in Christ. Christ is interceding for us at the right hand of God. And one day Christ will return and transform us finally into the full image, heavenly image of themselves. If we have not the Son, then we have not the Word abiding in us. And if we have not the Word, then we have no life. There was no escape for those who refused to hear Christ. God is now speaking to us through his Son and through his written Word. There are no new visions. There are no more new words from God apart from that which is in the Scripture, what the Scriptures reveal. And other voices, they are thieves and they are robbers. They have come to kill and come to steal, to kill and destroy. It is only in him and him alone that we have life, and we know the shepherd's voice and we follow after that voice. So everything that we hear, we have got to compare spiritual with spiritual. Mm-hmm. We have got to compare it with the Word of God. And if it does not say it in the Word of God, then we must dismiss it. Jesus only speaks of that which the Father has given him to speak. He did not speak of his own. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So we see we have to have this faith. We have to have this faith that is strong enough to know that what we read in the written Word of God is truly God's Word. And what Christ had spoken, the red letters, truly came from God himself. And to those who heed to Christ's word, they are no more servants, but they are friends. Remember the friend of God? John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So now we know what the Father is doing through Christ, the accomplishments that Christ is doing in the Father's behalf. We're no more set apart. We no more have to go to a high priest to, what does the Lord say, or what does God say? We don't have to go to a prophet. What saith the Lord? Because we know what He has said. Mm-hmm. We know the plans that He has for us, plans to prosper us. This is an intimate relationship with the Lord and His Christ. His children hear His voice and they are glad, because with His words there is security, there is hope, strength, resolve, guidance, and so on and so on. There is life eternal in the words of God. In God's words there is life, but there is also condemnation in His words for those who let it slip. Hebrews 2:1, it says, therefore we ought to give a more earnest heed. We must really dig in. Earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed of us by them that heard Him? And a little farther down in Hebrews 3, while it is said today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. So those that did not heed the word of God, following him in the wilderness, they fell in the wilderness. Remember, by God's words, men are raised up. And by His words, men are cast down. Remember, every government, every authority has been given by God. By belief in His words, men are counted as righteous. And by refusing His words, men are cast out. It is all dependent on if you cherish and treasure His word in your heart. So we must give the more earnest heed to draw near to His words with a clean heart and in full assurance of faith. Again, it takes that faith to believe what God has said. So where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the word of God. We have examples all through the scriptures of men and women's faith increasing by hearing the word of God. A man who referred to himself as the chiefest of sinners turned to God by hearing God's voice. Fishermen, tax collectors, the scripture reveals a harlot believed in that which was done 40 years prior. Believing by hearing, men, children, sons and daughters all believed, and all of their faith increased. You must hear and cherish in your heart the word of God, and by it your faith will be increased, because you will see that God is able to do what He has said. And we see through the scriptures that whatever God had said previously, He was able to accomplish it, and He fulfilled it. So why would we think that God has changed? No, God is true, and every man a liar. There is no shadow of turning in God. And we can see in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 6, that He swore. God swore by an oath some of the immutable things. And lastly, everything will be made naked and opened by the word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him, with whom we have to do. In the end, we will all truly be judged by the word of God. So we must reckon, where is the word of God in our hearts? Remember, there's going to be this sharp sword, this two-edged sword coming out of the mouth, and it's going to judge. That two-edged sword is the Word of God. In closing, let us remember that life was brought forth by the Word of God, and in the end, we will be judged by the Word of God. We must see the Word of God as a treasure that is hidden in a field, and go and sell all to possess it. In the days of old, God spoke to men not only for their examples, but also for our examples. But now, in the end, He has spoken to us by His Son, and His Son only speaks of the things of the Father. Where is God's Word in your heart? Do we treasure it more than rubies and pearls? Is it on the forefront of our thoughts and in our mind? God's Word must be so precious to us that we are told not to cast it before swine. All the things that are of God are given through His Son, and now we must hear ye Him. And let me leave us with one last word. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So see, no more are we cast off, no more are we servants, but now we are truly friends of God because we have believed on His word. Is there any questions or comments or corrections?
This idea that, you know, man feels that, you know, he knows where things came from. But the fact is that God makes all things out of nothing.
And it seems
carnal man can't grasp that because he doesn't have faith. But, you know, you made a very good point about everything created by His voice and commanded. He commanded life eternal also for those who accept His Son. That's a command that we can hold on to too.
And we see, we hear in Job that we must esteem the Word of God more precious than our daily food. And I know I misquoted that, but we know the verse. So we see that it is God's Word that we must rely on. And that's the only way that we can have faith is by God's Word, hearing the Word of God. Well, I thank you all for your attention. Shall we stand? And Brother John, you want to give us a closing prayer, please?